It's hard to imagine, but despite mortgage rates around 7%, it's still a seller's market for buying a home. I'm Rob West. Many analysts predicted that home prices would level off in 2023, and while that's happening in some areas, prices continue to rise in others. I'll talk about that and what prospective buyers should do in a seller's market. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Okay, so the National Association of Realtors reports that in the first quarter of 2023, home prices actually rose in 7 out of 10 metro markets around the country. That happened even as the Federal Reserve continued to raise interest rates, pushing the average mortgage rate to nearly 7%. This isn't how things are supposed to work. When mortgage rates increase, prospective buyers typically bow out, resulting in fewer sales, which then cause prices to fall. That's economics 101. When demand falls, so do prices. But that's not happening, partly because demand is not falling. Prospective home buyers have apparently gotten used to the higher rates and are staying in the hunt. Meanwhile, prospective sellers are shying away from listing their properties because they don't want to pay those higher rates when financing their next home. The net result is that inventory or supply remains low, and with demand steady, prices will stay up. Okay, so what can you do about it? How do you buy a home in this market without breaking your budget? Well, start by not going it alone. Interview at least 3 real estate agents and pick the sharpest one. You want someone with a track record of helping folks buy homes in the neighborhood of your choice and who will stay on top of new listings. You or your agent may want to make a list of other real estate agencies in your area and make frequent calls to them, checking to see if they're working on potential houses that haven't been entered into the multiple listing service yet. You might be able to make an offer before a house hits the market, but be ready to make a quick decision. You also want to get pre-approved for a mortgage before you set foot in the first house on your list. That'll give you a leg up over the competition that hasn't bothered to look into financing. But understand that the lender will likely approve you for a bigger mortgage than you'll be comfortable with. Work up an estimated budget that allows 25% or less of your take-home pay for the mortgage payment. Also, you have to realize that in this market, buyers can't be choosers. The goal is to find an affordable home that meets your needs, not your dream house. Be flexible with your must-haves and be willing to make changes. Location is probably the most important thing to hold out for. Other things, like a finished basement, you can do later. Here's one that should go without saying. Don't bother trying to lowball a seller. With most homes selling near the asking price these days, making an offer well below that won't get you anywhere. To be competitive, you'll have to come in very close to the asking price, if not a little above. Here again, your agent can help you come up with a realistic opening offer. It's happening less and less these days, but you could find yourself in a bidding war where emotions can run high. You'll need to keep your wits about you, or you'll find yourself with a fat mortgage payment and eating a lot of spam for dinner. Know the absolute upper limit of what you can spend and have the discipline to stop there. And don't try to put a lot of conditions on your offer. Sellers aren't in the mood to throw in a major appliance or give you a new roof allowance if you feel the house might need one. You have to keep the seller's interest in mind. For example, agree to a closing date of the seller's choice, not yours. Oh, and one final thought, you might need to consider doing nothing. That means waiting until the market moderates even further. Don't expect home prices to fall significantly in the future, but eventually inventory should catch up with demand and you'll have less competition. You definitely should wait if you haven't saved up 20% for a down payment. There's no sense in adding the cost of private mortgage insurance to your mortgage payment, which is likely to be high to begin with. PMI is required if you can't put 20% down, and it could run as high as $70 a month for every $100,000 you borrow. It only protects the lender in case you default. It has no value for you at all. So those are some tips for surviving a seller's market. We hope you you find them useful. If you're looking to buy a house this summer, let us know how it works out. And by the way, if you're in the market for a mortgage, check out our friends at movementmortgage.com/faith. That's movementmortgage.com/faith. All right, your calls are next, 800-525-7000. Those lines are open 24/7, 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. You may have noticed, but it's been quite hot this summer. You might be driving with the AC on blast, or perhaps you're listening at home with an ice-cold glass of lemonade. It's important to stay cool, stay hydrated. But do you know what else is important during these hot days? In James 1, the half-brother of Jesus counsels us, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. When it's hot outside, we can be prone to be irritable. We can be impatient and let our frustrations known. But what should we do instead? We should be quick to listen, slow to speak. In this way, we can be a blessing to others and keep heated conversations from getting hotter. Get daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Hi, this is Pastor Robert Morris. I'm often asked, how do I grow in my relationship with the Lord? How do I hear God? What is God's plan and purpose for me? I want to personally invite you to join me on Sunday mornings right here on AFR for worship and the Word. And we will discover the answer to these questions together. We'll explore the truths found in God's Word that will help you strengthen your faith and develop a more intimate relationship with Him.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches. And we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at LitePointPortfolios.com.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Well, it's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Here's our goal on this program each day, to encourage you, to provide you hopeful, biblical advice on how you can manage God's money. That's right. It all belongs to Him, and that's really the starting point for money management. That's a game changer, because when you recognize that you are a steward and not an owner, then you understand that you need to reflect the heart of the owner or the master in your money management decisions, which means we go back to God's Word and understand the biblical themes and passages and principles. By the way, more than half the parables deal with the topic of money. There's a lot there. So how do we pull out those themes and apply those to the practical decisions and choices we're making literally every day with our finances? Well, we want to help you do that here on this program. The number to call with your question today, and we do have some lines open, is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. 800-525-7000. You can call right now. We started today by talking about a seller's market, and we were talking about what you needed to know to buy in a seller's market. What about selling? Well, I'll tackle a few of those ideas coming up in just a bit. But let's head to the phones. Again, a few lines open, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's begin in Alabama today. Chad, a first-time caller. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. I was calling to find out if you've paid taxes on the money that you're putting in a 401k, not a 401k, but an IRA, you're putting it in already paying the taxes. Can you take that portion out if you should need it?
Yeah. So you're talking specifically, Chad, about a Roth IRA, correct?
Well, it's an IRA, and I put the money in, I'm just putting into it. What it was is I had worked at another job, so I created an IRA when I left there, all right, and I've been contributing to it out of my new job, just $150 or $200 a month. Can okay. I take out the money that I put into there, or is there a penalty?
Well, keep in mind, with a traditional IRA and 401k, have not paid the tax on that. You got a deduction, or you will get a deduction when you file your taxes for any contributions. And so for that reason, you're not able to take out a withdrawal of any amount because it's all pre-tax. So as you make that contribution, you're going to go ahead and get the deduction on the amount going in. A Roth IRA is different. As long as you meet the 5-year holding period, you can always take your original contributions out because those are after-tax dollars. But the traditional IRA and the traditional 401k are all pre-tax.
Okay, so you don't have a choice in whether to take the deduction or not.
You do not. Now, you can do a non-deductible IRA if for some reason you don't qualify to be able to put in. So let's say, you have, for a variety of reasons, you're not able to take that deduction. But generally speaking, once that money goes in, you are going to need to leave it there, or you're going to pay the penalty below 59.5. You're certainly going to pay the taxes on it as it comes out.
All right. Well, I appreciate you. Appreciate your answer, sir.
Okay, very good. Thanks. Thanks so much for your call today. We appreciate it. By the way, if you did want to consider a non-deductible contribution, you have to report those contributions on your tax return. Just check with your CPA about that. But there is a provision there. Vast majority of people making an IRA contribution are doing that on a deductible basis. But if you're unable to contribute to a traditional IRA because of your total income, you may be able to contribute to then a non-deductible IRA, and you can get more information on that. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Hey, before we head back to the phones today, in the news today, a top credit industry analyst says a credit score of just 760 is all you need to get the very best interest rates. This is coming from CNBC. They're saying that having a credit score of 850 might make you feel good about yourself, but it won't get you any better rates than if you were in the mid-700s. CNBC is reporting that a FICO score between 740 and 760 is going to get you the most favorable terms when you're opening a new credit card or getting a mortgage or a car loan. A lot of folks get concerned about that. They might be sitting at 790 and all of a sudden, or 800, and they pull the credit score because, more and more creditors are offering it now free, and Credit Karma offers it free, and they might see that it's dropped 20 points and they're getting concerned. But as long as you're in the mid 700s, you're already qualifying for the very best rates and terms. So no reason to fret over that temporary drop. Hope that helps you. All right. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got some lines open today. Back to the phones to New Mexico. Hey, Mario, how can I help you?
How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing very well, sir. Thank you for calling.
I would like to know something. I have a little over $200,000 invested in an investment firm, and met with him yesterday, and it's been in there just about a year, and it hasn't made anything. Does that sound about right with the way the economy is, or something? Or
Yeah, you know, the it hasn't been a great year. So you started when last summer, basically.
Yeah, yeah. With, like I said, we had a talk with him yesterday, and we kind of went through the figures. But when we put it in there, it's been about a year, and it hasn't really. In fact, it's dropped a little bit according to their chart that I was looking at.
Okay.
And I said, "You mean it's been in there this long, and we really hadn't made anything?"
Yeah.
And she said it was just the way the economy was, and I don't know about that.
Sure. What is the investment strategy? How would you describe it, Mario, just in terms of the mix between stocks and bonds?
I don't know that a whole lot about that. Okay. Sorry.
All right. What is your age?
68.
Okay. So, you know, at 70, you probably have, let's say, you know, maybe 30, 40% in stocks and the rest probably in bonds. It's been a tough year for bonds, and that may be why there's been a drag on the returns. I mean, the S&P 500, which that's the 500 largest from a market cap standpoint companies in the United States, you know, the one-year return the last 12 months is positive about 4%. But those are all, you know, mega cap companies, large cap companies, and you may have a mix of mid and small cap stocks. Those have not done as well. So it's not hard to imagine that you would be flat, especially if you have a concentration in bonds, perhaps as much as 50% or more of the portfolio. And that wouldn't be surprising at somebody near 70 years old, because keep in mind, as interest rates rise, the prices of bonds fall. They work in an inverse relationship. Well, what's happened with interest rates? Well, as you know, we've had 11 consecutive rate hikes, and the Fed's probably not done yet. So as the Federal Reserve has been fighting 40-year high inflation, they've been trying to slow the economy, and we could argue whether that's a good strategy, but that's what they've been doing. So they're trying to slow the economy to deal with inflation. One of their primary tools to slow the economy is to raise interest rates, which is why, you know, mortgage rates are now up near 7% and credit cards are 20% plus on average. Well, so as the Fed has raised rates, the bond prices have fallen. So you probably lost some value on the bond portion of your portfolio. That, with just a lackluster 12 months in stocks, you know, has you here probably flat. So I don't think it's a bad thing to be asking the question, hey, how am I invested and what is my strategy? And what should I expect going forward? But I don't think it's necessarily something you need to be concerned about at this point. I just keep an eye on it and keep good communication going with your advisor. Hey, thanks for your call today, Mario. God bless you, sir. We'll be back with more questions just around the corner. Stay with us.
Do you want to prepare for God's calling on your life to ministry? Many people have a sense that God is calling them to ministry, but they don't know the next step to take. Here's a step that may be for you. Wesley Biblical Seminary offers a new Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry that's entirely online, and it will prepare you for whatever ministry God calls you to next. We want to equip you with knowledge and tools you need to confidently fulfill the calling that God has put on your life. Learn more at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
The loss of a child through an abortion affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming, but there is hope and healing in the aftermath. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Abraham Hamilton III, host of The Hamilton Corner.
American Family Association is on the front lines in the culture war in America. We've been here for more than 40 years, fighting for the biblical principles our nation was founded upon. And by God's grace, we are making a difference.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting American Family Association. Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today. By the way, before we go back to the phones, we started out today by talking about the fact that it is still a seller's market, despite these dramatic increase in interest rates and the fact that we've seen the housing market cooling. It's still a seller's market, largely driven by the lack of inventory that exists, which has kept prices high and has created still a lot of offers in a relatively short period of time for most homes that go up for sale. Not like it was in the buying frenzy where in 24 hours we were having bidding wars, but it's still, for all intents and purposes, a seller's market. So we talked about how you should approach that purchase. How should you approach the sale, though? Let's say you're selling a house. Well, just a few thoughts and tips here, and then we'll be headed back to the phones in just a minute. By the way, lines are open at 800-525-7000. First, let me encourage you to set the price right. Now, here's what I mean by that. I helped a family member who engaged with a realtor recently to sell a property. We were talking about where to set the price. You know, it used to be when we might have bought or sold homes maybe a decade or more ago, we would set the price higher than the amount we expected to receive because you wanted some room for negotiation, right? So if you wanted to get $200,000 out of it, you might set it at $230,000, hoping that you know, somebody comes in at $190,000 and you end up at $200,000, or you might set it at $220,000 and, you know, end up at $210,000. That's really not the best strategy in when you ask most realtors today because of the lack of inventory. Here's the approach often that is better. Is let's say you're looking, you know, to get $225,000 out of a house. You might set it at $200,000, and that way, anybody who's looking in the multiple listing service for homes to consider, to go look at and participate in open houses, is they set their price target at $200,000 and below. You're going to get all those folks that set that criteria. Now all of a sudden, your home comes up. Well, they go look at it, and if you had set it at 225 and their search criteria was 200 and below, they wouldn't have even seen it. But now it's a part of what they're looking at. They come in and look at it, and in that first opening weekend, you've presented it well, it's staged well. You know, they might, you know, it's not uncommon for them to offer on a $200,000 home 225. Or say 215, and we'll go up to 225 if there's another bid, you know, higher than ours. And, you know, that opportunity to get more buyers to the table in a very short period of time upon listing is often a great strategy because folks are willing to pay these days well beyond up to, you know, 10% or more the asking price. And so if that's the case, then you want as many people coming to the table as possible. So interesting to consider there as you're thoughtful about setting the asking price for your home as you're selling it. By the way, be sure you engage a realtor. I think it's really worth the price of admission, if you will, to have a professional advising you as you list and sell and transact the business of the sale of your home. All right, more to come on that in a moment. Let's head to the phones to Texas. Hey, Paul, thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. I was just trying to drive home, and you distracted me, okay?
Uh-oh, sorry about that.
I got an issue here. Well, this is so appropriate for the moment here. I, I'm in the rent property business. And my wife and I took it, but it's an on the side thing, always has been.
Yeah.
My wife and I took a job managing a farm out in the country around here for 6 years, and they sold that farm, and we had to move back into town in the middle of this real estate mess.
Mm.
And so what do I do? Well, we looked at a house that we liked. It was in my stomping grounds, and we offered them $20,000 above the asking price. And that in 8 hours, there were 6 offers and somebody beat us.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going, oops, how far do we have to stretch?
Yeah.
Well, heck, I own 12 houses. How about if we just use one of those?
Yeah.
So we did a major remodel on one of our rent houses and we moved into there. But now that I'm living in it, that affects the accounting issues associated with deductibility of repairs and whatnot. I don't even know exactly what they are because I've never done this before. But my main question to you, if you know anything about this, is I was thinking if we decide to stay there and I transfer all this rent property is in a corporation. If yeah. I transfer it into my name so I can take the homestead exemption in Texas, I could save a sack full of tax money there.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how complicated that would be. Do you have any idea about that or what am I not thinking about here?
Yeah. Are you talking about the capital gains tax that would be due on the sale with the profit? Or are you talking about the homestead exemption that would?
I'm just talking about changing the title from Gardenworthy Incorporated to my name.
Yeah.
It's an S corporation. I want to change it into my name. I'd have to work something out. Does the company have to actually sell it to me and then we go that way? Is that the way that would work?
So who owns the property today? You have a business that owns it?
My wife and I are 50% each in owning the corporation. The corporation owns a block of rent property and we had to move into one of them because we couldn't find a house to buy.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, so in order to get that, homestead exemption, which allows you to write down your property value so you don't get taxed as much, you would need to own that personally. Obviously there in Texas, property taxes, like most states, are a major revenue source for the state of Texas. So if you can get that exemption, that'd be a good thing. But in terms of how you'd go about that to get that title back into your name personally, I would talk to a real estate attorney about that, Paul, just to make sure you do that properly. But I think it likely could be just in terms of the savings on property taxes after getting that write down, well worth the time spent. But I'd get some legal counsel on that. So contact a local real estate attorney. Tell them how it's currently titled. Tell them what you're trying to accomplish. They can tell you exactly how you'd make that transfer over to you personally. And let us know if you have any other questions. We'll be right back.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Amy Carmichael was a missionary in India, rescuing little girls from abuse. In her 50-plus years of ministry, she witnessed the transforming power of the Bible.
Sorrowful people are comforted. People who were in the dark walk in the light. Is it not wonderful to think that this book is in our hands today?
Bert Harper and Alex McFarlane explore the wonders of the Bible, weekday afternoons at 3 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances. And FaithFi is here to help you and many others to be wise stewards of God's resources. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from FaithFi patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Please consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron. Visit faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Again, lines open. Robert Youngblood standing by to take your calls right now at 800-525-7000. We'll get you on the air quickly. To a first-time caller in Indiana. Hi, Ken. Thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, yes. Thank you for taking my call, Rob.
Sure. Absolutely.
My question is this. My wife and I are retired, and both drawing Social Security right now. We have a small business that we run here. We have a Christmas tree farm, and our Social Security income covers all of our day-to-day bills. We owe about $60,000 on our house, and we have that in CDs to pay off if we needed to. Rob, here's my question. We have about $430,000 in an IRA, and we'd like to build a barn that would be for the business and also for possibly an event center for like a wedding venue. And our thoughts are we could invest this money into that, and our children can come alongside, help us run the business, which they already help on the Christmas tree farm. We're just kind of looking at that money thinking, well, you know, do you give a lump sum to your children down the road once you went on to be with the Lord, or do you reinvest it in the farm and give them a business they can continue to run? So I would just like to have your opinion on that.
Yeah, very good. So if you were to do this, and I love this idea, how cool that you have this Christmas tree farm. And I think just given how more and more weddings are happening outside these days, having an event center with that beautiful backdrop would just be fabulous. I love the direction that you're headed here. How would you fund that? Would you need to pull the money out of the IRA to do that?
Yes, I would, and I'm estimating it would take probably about $300,000 start to finish to get the barn up and running.
Okay. Yeah, are you familiar with what's called a self-directed IRA?
I've heard the term.
Yeah, that might be worth looking at, you know, just to see whether that would be something, you know, you can consider doing, because that allows you to invest in a business, a startup or a private company, even real estate. But, you know, I think the big idea here is, you know, your bills are covered right now. You obviously are quite liquid with this IRA money because it could be converted to cash in an instant if you needed it for something like long-term care or you had a major expense beyond, you know, what your normal bills are, which, as you said, is covered by Social Security. Obviously, as soon as you tie this money, you know, let's say you were to take it out as a distribution and you work with your CPA on that and you do that in a way that doesn't push you up and, you know, pay more taxes in a higher bracket in any one year. So you're thoughtful about that. But let's say you did that, you know, obviously that would be very illiquid. And so now you're at a point where even once that mortgage is paid off, with which further reduces your expenses, gives you a little bit more margin that you can sock away in a savings account every month, your bigger nest egg that was there and able to be liquid is now very illiquid. So how would you feel about that? And are there any other assets you could tap if you needed to?
Yeah, that's the main assets that we do have, and thus my quandary. I'm like, well, you know, is it a leap of faith, or am I doing something I may regret down the road? Yeah, I don't know. We're just prayerfully considering all this, and I thought, well, there's wisdom in many counselors. Let me see what Rob thinks.
Yeah, I mean, I like that, and obviously wouldn't need to use all of the money, and, you know, I think you all could have a lot of fun doing that. It would obviously be income generating, so that puts you into a situation where, you know, although you're making a major investment, if it's successful, now all of a sudden it's throwing off cash that you could use to build up a reserve. Maybe what you do, Ken, to offset that risk. What did you say your age was?
I am 67.
Okay, very good. So, you know, you're right there. I mean, you're a little beyond the ideal window, but maybe you get a long-term care insurance policy. And, you know, that's what gives you some added peace of mind that if you and or your wife needed long-term care, you know, which 70% of Americans 65 years and older will for some period of time, usually, you know, 2 to 3 years at the most, you know, you've got a policy that would kick in and provide that daily benefit, because a nursing home could run you $9,000-$10,000 a month. So, you know, it gets pricey. That's probably your biggest risk in this season of life. So if you said, okay, we're going to recognize that risk, maybe we're going to add a long-term care insurance policy, maybe we're going to get a big umbrella policy just to offset any kind of liability risk, because now you're running an event center and somebody slips and falls on your property, and so you've got that covered. You've got the $100,000 still left in the IRA after it's done, and your mortgage is now paid off, so you got more margin, and you've got now income being thrown off by the event center that you're building up. I mean, that sounds like that could work, and especially from a quality of life standpoint, you guys would enjoy that. You'd have something to leave to the kids. Maybe they continue it on, or, you know, they could sell it, and obviously you all would have to work through that. I mean, I'm not seeing any major red flags here, just because you guys have lived modestly, you've saved diligently, you're about to be debt-free, and I think as long as we address some of these potential risks for this next season of life you're entering into, it sounds like something you guys would really enjoy.
Oh, I know we would enjoy it. I just appreciate another set of eyes on it, and appreciate your wisdom on that. So we will prayerfully take what you've told us as well, and talk with our children and see what the next step will be.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think part of being a steward is just making sure you've thought through. And, you know, ultimately, we depend on the Lord. So I'm not trying to redirect you away from that. But also, as good stewards, we want to just be thoughtful about, you know, how we're offsetting potential risk to the extent we can do that. And I think with the umbrella policy and the long-term care, you know, you would have done that, which maybe gives you a little more freedom to take some of this cash and put it to work in a more illiquid way. Let me also clarify one thing. You know, what occurred to me is with you wouldn't have the self-directed IRA option, because if you're involved in the business, it's a prohibited transaction. So you would have to take the money out. And that's where I think you just really need to work with your CPA on the withdrawal schedule, just to make sure you minimize those taxes. I hope that's been helpful to you, Ken. Has it?
Oh, it has, and I sure appreciate you.
All right. Thank you, my friend. Hey, if you end up doing this, let us know. I need some pictures of that event center and those Christmas trees. It sounds like it's gorgeous up there. God bless you, my friend. Thanks for being on the program today. We appreciate it. 800-525-7000. Quickly to Danny, also a first-time caller, and he's in Christmas tree land in North Carolina. Danny, how can I help you?
Thank you for taking my call. I have had this in my mind for a while, and I even talked to my agent about it, my stock agent. And I have some stocks. I have about $19,000 in stocks, not a great amount of money. But I owe about $23,000 on my house, and I'm thinking about pulling that money out and some of my 401k to pay my home off. I'm 60 years old. I'm retired. I'm a pastor. And I just wanted to get some idea. Would that be a good idea, or just keep paying up for it? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I sure do, Danny, and delighted to hear that you're in vocational ministry as a pastor. You are fully retired, though, so you're living solely off of your Social Security at this point. Is that right?
Well, I'm living off what my church, they take care of me, and I'm drawing my pension also, so we're pretty comfortable. I have okay. I have about $10,000 in a in savings too. So
okay, great, yeah, and you've got a little margin. I love that. All right, let's do this. Unfortunately, I'm up against a hard break, but I'd love to weigh in on this, Danny. It's a great question. So if you can be patient and stay right there, we'll I'll give you my thoughts on the other side of the break. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
Have you downloaded the Faith Fi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the Faith Fi app?
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
So glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got room for maybe one or two at the most more questions today. 800-525-7000 with your financial questions. You can call right now. Just before the break, we were talking to Danny. He's a retired pastor in North Carolina. He's got about $23,000 left on the house. He's got $19,000 in stocks, plus a 401k. And Danny, just to clarify, that $19,000 is all in, right, from the stocks and the 401k. Is that right?
No, sir. I have the stocks alone are about $19,000, and then I have some 401k money, and then I have some savings too.
Okay. So how much, just give me a rundown of what you have. How much is in, you've got $19,000 in stocks. What's in the 401k?
$8,000, and then I have about $9,000 in savings.
Okay, and then about $9,000. And is that the extent of your savings? Does that include what I would call your emergency fund?
That includes my emergency fund, yeah.
Okay. And do you have the ability, I mean, obviously you're paying that mortgage right now, and as you said, between your pension and the church taking care of you and your Social Security, if you have it and you didn't opt out, you've got, you know, a little enough to cover your bills plus some cushion, and that includes the mortgage payment, right?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Okay.
I don't owe for, that's the only payment I have is my house payment.
Yeah, good. You know, if it were me, I mean, two things here. Number one is if you all just had a real conviction from the Lord, you pray about it and you just have a real conviction from the Lord that you should be debt-free as soon as possible, then I'd say you go for it and don't look back. If you're comfortable just continuing to pay on this mortgage on the scheduled basis and you've got fully the ability to do it, which you do, and you're just not sensing the Lord is asking you to be, you know, completely out of debt immediately, then I'd probably just continue to pay on it as you have been. If you have some extra, Maybe you add a little bit to it for further mortgage reduction as you go, so you're not just sending the minimum payment, but you're out of your regular cash flow each month. You're paying down that principal balance. But I would probably let that 401k and the stocks just continue to grow, especially since the market's been struggling the last year or so. Let that rebound, keep that nest egg growing on a tax-deferred basis. So if you need it down the road, long-term care or some other major expense, you've got it. And then just let this mortgage, be paid off over time. That would probably be the way I would go, if that makes sense.
That would be the safe route.
It would. Yeah. And keep access to those funds. You know, if you were real tight on your monthly spending and getting rid of that mortgage would help you, pay the bills and balance the budget, that'd be a different thing. But that's not what I'm hearing here. So I just, continue to pay it down as you can. And don't be afraid to send a little extra along the way. Hey, God bless you. Oh, yeah.
Really,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
What we really had in our mind to do, if we paid our house off, we was going to buy a little bit better, vehicle, a car, and because what we have right now is getting a lot of mileage on it, and that was something we were thinking. If we paid it off, then we would go and buy us another car or something, and we'd have that money to do that with. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. How have these investments been doing? I mean, do you feel like that?
The one is it's up and down right now. Yeah. It's the one is doing, okay. I retired from a company that I worked for 25 years. That's where I'm drawing my pension from. So I'm I'm already set as far as that. When I turn 62, I'll draw my Social Security. But we just something that we had in our mind that we was thinking about, and I wanted to get somebody else's idea about it too.
Yeah. I can understand where you're coming from, because if you don't have the ability to take on that car payment on top of the mortgage and everything else you've got, even though you guys are living modestly, I can understand where you'd say, well, it'd be nice just to get rid of that mortgage, then we can redirect that money. Again, I'd probably just let this, money grow on a tax deferred basis as long as you can. Either try to fund that new used car out of cash flow, and maybe send a little bit less for principal reduction on the mortgage. That'd probably be my first choice. But again, if you guys said, we'd love the idea of being debt free and it'd give us the money to take on this car loan, then I wouldn't argue with that at all. I think that's a personal preference. My first choice is probably leave the money where it is and let's try to fund the car purchase out of cash flow. And that mortgage will be paid off sooner than later.
I have one more question. If I was to pull my stock out, what is the taxes on that now? Do you know? I heard many things, and I want to get somebody that knows what.
Yeah, so that's a taxable account, right? It's not an IRA or some other sort of retirement account.
I've got it with Edward Jones.
Okay. Yeah. So that's a taxable account. So basically the taxes would be based on the sale of the securities inside the account. As you sell them, you would either have a short-term capital gain if you held those investments for less than a year and they had a profit, and then it would just be added to your taxable income for the year, or a long-term capital gain, which, would either be at 0 or 15%. And again, that would be based on the profit that you had in those investments. So if you held them for more than a year, you'd end up paying capital gains on those. And it wouldn't be more than 15% of the gains, not the total proceeds.
I've heard 22%, and that's the reason I was asking you.
No. Yeah, federal long-term capital gains, unless you're making more than $400,000 a year, you're going to be at 15%.
All right. Well, thanks for appreciate your time.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your call. We appreciate you being on the program today. Let's head to Louisiana. Hi, Alfred, another first-time caller. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was calling in reference to a trust. I have a couple of rental properties that's paid for with no mortgage on it, and trying to look and see whether or not to put them in an LLC, which I have established, but it's not in the LLC at the time. It's just in my name and wife's name. But I was thinking about whether or not it'd be more beneficial to put in a trust or put it in the LLC.
Yeah, very good. With regard to an LLC for rental property, there are plenty of benefits to doing that. It's a flow-through taxation. It does provide some limited liability protection. There, you know, is a process of what's called piercing the corporate veil if you're doing it from a liability standpoint. The benefit of the trust, is just really the cost. I mean, it can run you a couple of thousand dollars, but that would allow you then to effectively transfer these properties to avoid probate, which means your heirs would have access to the assets specified in the trust without having to wait weeks or in some cases even months to allow them to clear probate. So it makes the transfer of the assets private, whereas it would be a part of the public record if you go through the probate process. Do you have an estate planning attorney that you've worked with for your will and those types of things?
No, that's something I haven't established yet. It's supposed to have been, been put no, and I was going to get it, but I haven't got that done. I need to get a CPA or either attorney one or two to establish that as well. But I didn't know exactly. I was going to talk to one to try to find out, but I've been listening to your program off and on for a while about finances, and I thought I'd ask the question to get some more information dealing with trust, because I don't have much knowledge, nor do I talk with anyone that helps.
Yeah, I mean, these are separate conversations, though, because LLC ownership interest can be held in a revocable trust. So you could put it into the LLC because of the tax flow through and the limited liability, and then put that into the trust, which is really an estate planning vehicle that allows you to efficiently and effectively transfer that to your heirs. So I think at the end of the day, you want to talk to your CPA about the LLC, and then you want to visit with an estate attorney to talk about your wealth transfer and estate planning wishes, and then come to some terms on, yes, the LLC makes sense to put the properties in. And then as a separate conversation, do we then want to take the LLC or those properties just held in your name in either case, and then put that into a revocable trust? And that would just be, to facilitate your estate planning wishes at your death and transfer it efficiently and effectively to either heirs or charity.
So it sounds like you put it, need the LLC. I mean, it sounds like I need to put the LLC first of all.
That's right. If you decide to go with the LLC, you'd want to do that first, and then an LLC interest could go into a revocable trust. So I think you need to talk to some pros here, get some professional legal counsel, and talk to your CPA as you make these decisions. Alfred, we appreciate your call today, my friend. God bless you. To Texas, Renee, thank you for calling. How can I help? Hi, Renee.
Hello?
Hey, it's Rob West. How can I help you?
This is Douglas. Are you talking to me or somebody else?
I guess I must be. I thought I was going to Renee, but it looks like I'm with you, Douglas. But listen, unfortunately, okay. I'm out of time. Let's do this. I'd love to get you on the program, but I'm up against the clock here. So I appreciate you you calling in today. We'd love to get you on a future broadcast, but thanks for stopping by, folks. Really a privilege to be along with you today. So grateful for the opportunity to share God's wisdom related to your financial decisions and choices. We love doing this broadcast every day, and there's a whole team of people that make this happen. Those pushing the buttons today would be Robert Youngblood handling our calls, Devin Patrick, our engineer and producer, and then, of course, Jim Henry providing me great research. And then beyond that, there's the production team and Chad Clark leading the way and all the folks that handle the scheduling of our guests. So just grateful for the FaithFi team and our partnership with American Family Radio. I hope today's been an encouragement and a blessing to you, and you found something practical that you could take away and apply. In the meantime, I hope the Lord blesses you real good and you come back and join us tomorrow. Lord willing, I'll be here to do it all over again. In the meantime, remember, God owns it all. You're a steward. Money's a tool to accomplish His purposes, so hold it loosely. Take care. We'll see you tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.